Hello everyone, it is September 11th of 2020, and welcome to Toonami Therapy. I just realized that I reversed the order I normally say that in. So, okay, wait, do I usually introduce ourselves, or do I give the little zinger about it, what the podcast is about first? Because I feel like I need to reverse everything. In fact, you know what? Maybe we should just reverse everything. Let's do the non-Toonami shows first, and then we'll do the Toonami stuff, except we finished our non-Toonami show Excel World, so that should be at the end instead of the beginning. I picked the wrong week to mess up the opening thing as a gimmick, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And this is our podcast where we talk about stuff that we've been watching, mostly anime, some of which airs on Toonami. Alright, so one of the things we've been watching, we actually finished Excel World, but we'll get to that at the end.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, we've got, we'll start with the Toonami stuff, because yes, we are still going in our actual order. Maybe we'll just flip it some other time. Right, so we start out with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Golden Wind episode 32. So Bucarati and Seko is his name, I think, are continuing to fight each other. And as we mentioned, so Seko's stand powers, he's able to basically essentially swim through like solid matter and, well, also some other stuff, but also that, which makes it very odd that he can catch up to Bucarati, because like the fastest you can go while swimming is way slower than someone who's running.
Yeah.
Okay. So Bucarati. Dang, is it Bucarati or Bucarati?
You know, I'm not sure, really.
They've said it how many times, and I can't remember.
Yeah. That's funny. I can't remember actually. I think it's Bucarati though. That's okay. What I would guess.
All right. Okay. So to get to the point, Bucarati is able to beat him by having such a loud noise that it punctures his eardrums, so he can't hear anymore, which is bad for him because his hearing was such an important part of his stand. Oh, also we find out that the guy who had the arrow and called him there was Polnareff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Polnareff showed up, and it was because he has what he is, the one weapon that can defeat the boss. Is that it?
Probably something like that.
Yeah. That's what I got out of it. I wasn't sure though.
Yeah. So then throughout all that stuff, Bucarati ends up So when Seko was against Bucarati, he just grabs this random passerby and uses him as a hostage. And it's Dopio, the weird alter ego of the boss. What are the odds? Well, good thing it established that stand users are naturally drawn towards each other, which I guess explains it somewhat.
That reminds me of how everyone used to explain every continuity error in the prequels of Star Wars by just saying, oh, the Force caused it. The Force caused it. That was always the excuse. So that's what the whole stand users are drawn to each other reminds me of.
Yeah, but the thing is, the stand users was actually stated in the show.
Yeah.
It's, of course, then there's the sort of original version of that sort of thing, which was on this one episode of The Simpsons where this one character, so I can't remember the specifics, but I know Lucy Lawless, the person who plays Xena, Xena Warrior Princess, in the show, she's at some sort of like fan event and someone starts asking her about all these continuity questions. She says, so anyway, in this scene, in this episode, you're writing this, but then when we next see you, you're writing something else. Why? She goes, a wizard did it. Whenever you see something like that, it's because a wizard did it. Okay, so they managed to beat the bad guy and stuff, but Doppio, you know, now knows where Bucciarati is and is going to maybe attack him, torture him, maybe, if he's all, because he's the alter ego, he might be nice and actually help him, or, but he does notice, him, and that's where we get our episode ending.
Yep. Yeah. So I thought it was a pretty good episode. I enjoyed it. I was trying to figure out who that Doppio character was. Mm-hmm. I thought he was like one of the side characters that was introduced at the very beginning of the arc, and I had totally forgotten about him. So, but the thing I liked about the episode was that the bad guy just kept on getting more and more excited about how he was beating Bucciarati, and like it like continued the work for long enough that, you know, you got to the point where it's like, okay, maybe he does have something on him, and then the whole plan is revealed and it makes for a pretty satisfying ending. So yeah, I thought it was a good episode.
Yeah. As is the usual case in JoJo fights, people are able to come up off the top of their heads with strategies that should take hours of planning. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've gotten so JoJo, yes, fun episode, good show. Okay, so we get so then we're on to Assassination Classroom episode 2. So the first bit of this episode is about how one of the characters wants to be this baseball player, but and Koro Sensei tells in one of the most wholesome scenes you'll ever see, in which someone is being grabbed by tentacles. Koro Sensei is able to just figure out like his muscle shape and stuff and tells him that he needs to try to do it a different way. So, yay. The second part is basically just establishing, so Karasuma, that's the sort of government agent who kind of is in charge of the whole thing, is apparently being given the PE student, PE teacher position. Some other person is being transferred into the class who seems kind of excited about it. And we also find out that the class 3 and class 3E is like kind of looked down upon by the rest of the school and such. And yeah. Then there is a bunch of goofy jokes along the way.
Yeah. What I learned is that I need to stop thinking of the show as like anything serious. I just have to take it as a complete comedy, because whenever I try to take it serious, I realize how ridiculous and stupid their plan is, and how everything everyone is doing makes no sense at all. So I've decided I'm just going to treat this as a complete nonsense comedy and throw out whatever plot they're trying to put in. Just say, okay, this is just silly. That's where I'm at here.
Yeah, at least the opening of the episode does clarify. Yes, none of the characters know the answers to any of these questions either. Like, where he's just going, why did he want to teach us? How did he destroy the moon? Why does he want to destroy Earth? And he just, like, goes on like that for a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
Although, when you were mentioning last episode about how the stuff didn't make sense, I actually forgot there was one thing that was sort of explained in the previous episode, and that's this part where Koro-sensei has this flashback to how this person asked him to teach the students. I mean, we don't know who she was, why she asked him, or why he said yes, or anything else, but we technically got kind of an explanation there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it at least for now, you just go with it. It's silly. It's funny. Just enjoy the fact that he attacked a random baseball player and then somehow still got his autograph.
Yeah.
One other thing though, and that's the part that at the end when they're talking to the other kid, I'll just say his name is Karma. He's introducing the next episode anyway. Who's like going to be joining the class, and someone said, and they like say something, this is top secret. If you tell people, we'll have to erase your memory. And then I was thinking, does memory erasure ever come up in the series again? Does it, like, I mean, maybe it did and I forgot, but it just made me think, does that mean we were supposed to just take that as a bluff or something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, it was fun. Then we've got Black Clover episode 130. So so the main stuff is that the various captains have a meeting, and that's basically the plot of the episode. When you get down to it.
Yeah. I noticed that the coral peacock seems to be the most interesting of the other captains, aside from Yami. Then there was a whole bunch of stuff about... What was that whole... this is something I must have missed. What was that whole thing about the guy who was injured and they had to pretend someone else was him?
Okay, so the Wizard King got in the previous arc, in that big battle thing, he got killed in quotation marks, because he had set up this spell that and stored up a bunch of stuff, so that instead of dying, he like stayed around, but it set him to a younger age even, and made him lose most of his power.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want to, you know, let people know that yet. So and since they can't, you know, bring the actual Wizard King out to, you know, address anyone or make public appearances because, you know, he looks way different, they just had this other person dress up as him, and put on, like, the sort of bandages to help mask his face and just pose as the Wizard King.
I see.
That's why he didn't say anything. That's why they said, well, he's got... I can't remember what they said. Did they say bronchitis or something like that?
Yeah, it was something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that was the explanation for that.
Mm-hmm. Who was the person playing the role of him?
I can't remember his name actually. I can't remember. The description says that it's Owen, but then I'm thinking, wait, who's Owen? Let me double check on that quick. Owen.
Yeah.
Owen. I think he's just a healer character who was serves under the wizard king. Yeah, I mean, look, his his entry on the Black Clover Wiki is pretty short, so I'm guessing he hasn't been that important a character, which is why I don't remember him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just looking at this. Yeah, there's not really that much he says about it. Right. The other thing I did want to mention, I didn't mention it before because, because I don't think we were covering it when the episodes aired, but remember how there's that one guy with the sort of like scales who's like a really harsh judge and stuff, and his name is Damnatio Kira? And I'm just like what? What parent names their kid that?
Mm-hmm.
And how would you like do that and not expect him to grow up to be this super, strict judge guy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. There's two ways. If you name your kid that sort of thing in fiction, one of two things will happen. One, they'll match up perfectly with the name, or two, they'll be the exact opposite as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of any time where a character had a name like that, and then they were just a middle of the road person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's see. Was there anything I want to say? Nope. That was it. So it was Black Clover, just a kind of simple episode with not a lot happening, but it did have some kind of funny jokes along the way.
Mm-hmm.
It did establish that the former captain of the Purple Orcas, because you wouldn't know this because you didn't see it, but basically he was, he turned traitor, but then got captured and was just kind of held in prison for a while. Then during this whole thing, he managed to escape, but then I guess he got recaptured, a fact that I either forgot about or we didn't actually see on screen. But this does say what they were actually did with him in saying, okay, you're going to like help us sell stuff, I guess. So at least I know that, from this now, because like I said, this arc is just showing the canon events that the manga skipped over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So after that, we've got Fire Force. Might be the last episode of Fire Force we end up watching for a while, but because I mostly kept that going because I just wanted to see the end of this arc, and I didn't have work on Monday, so I didn't mind staying up later. But basically, even though some more enemies show up, they managed to rescue Vulcan and the kid and all of the stuff, and they all get back to headquarters, and he's like, well, just like you probably expected, I'm going to join you now. because saving them from the bad guys is usually a good way to get them on your side. And then there's some other stuff with other characters that I do not know anything about because I missed a bunch of episodes. Like the part where that white-haired kid who's apparently the brother of the main character shows up, and I'm like, oh, I think this might have been mentioned at some point. I don't know. In the episodes I saw. Let's see. So we got that. Yeah, not really too much else to say about it, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't have much to say about it. I never was able to get into that show, and I mean, I tried giving it another chance here, but it was just too much nonsense.
It is better than it was at the start. And I did actually find the stuff with Hibana. Was she even introduced when you stopped watching? She shows up briefly, and she was kind of funny, and then just gets randomly knocked out are you being hit by a giant rock or something? That was kind of funny. But yeah, other than that, I'm just like, well, it's better, but because I'm kind of jumping straight into it, and because it's kind of on later, if it was earlier, I actually probably would be watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so like I said, it's better. It is something that I probably would actually keep watching if it was earlier, but for now, we're probably going to be sort of dropping it off.
Yeah.
All right. So we're finishing up Excel World, so we'll put that at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So for now, we've got ReZero Episode 35. So in this episode, so Satella is basically running amok and causing all this black stuff to go and, I guess, devour people. And then she shows up and keeps, like, telling Subaru that she's in love with him. And he gets all angry and says he doesn't like her and would take any of the other witches over her. So I guess that makes her angry because she dies. And then he goes back, except there's no Satella this time around. So I'm not sure how that worked. Like, why was she there that time? So he keeps snapping back to the same point, but why in that case was there Satella, but then there wasn't the previous times, and there wasn't one this time? What happened? I don't even know why she showed up. It felt completely random and unnecessary.
Yeah, I'll have more thoughts on that at the end of the description.
Okay, so after that, they end. Let me see. So they managed to do that. We find out. So Subaru is, you know, now he's decided. Well, now that we've gotten that bit of a tangent out of the way, I guess we need to actually, I should get back to, you know, trying to solve all of this stuff. So basically he ends up, let's see, he finds out that, I cannot remember these characters' names. The person, the weird girl who's there, the point is it turns out she's got a bunch of duplicates and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He talks to her and, apparently he's become the, apostle of greed. So, because of the thing he drank from Echidna, which gives him the, power to command them or something. The important thing is that Subaru, manages to head back to the, mansion and he meets with Beatrice.
Yeah. Okay, my thoughts on this are simple. I can't ever remember a show having this much of a drop-off in quality from season one to season two. I mean, maybe Attack on Titan, if you consider that, like... But Attack on Titan, their second season was just telling, you know, like a different story. Whereas this is...
I thought you liked the second season of Attack on Titan a lot more than the first.
Did I?
Yeah, I remember you, like, even, like, were saying something about how... What happened? It's gone from a show I didn't like to a must-watch television. You said something like that, I remember.
You soured
on the second season as it went on, but there's definitely a point where you were really into it.
Oh, yeah, you are right, because it started out with the potato girl and all that. Yeah. What am I thinking of then?
I mean, are you thinking of the second to the third season? Because the first half of the third season was pretty lame.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm thinking of. Yeah. Now that I think of it, that's probably what I was thinking of. But, I can't ever remember a show that I loved so much in its first season, and then I, like, just have no desire to, like, get into anymore because it's become so weird. You can't figure out anything. And they just keep on making things more and more confusing. And see, the thing about the first arc is it was pretty simple. You know, if Subaru died, then he started over. And that was pretty much it. Mm-hmm. And you could, you know, there was a lot of fun characters to watch. You know, they kept introducing more and more interesting characters. It was more character-based. And now it's like, it's just like trying for this shock factor of, look at all these bad things Subaru's going through, but we have no idea where we are, and you know, we don't know when he's restarting, or it's just so confusing, and I just lost interest in it, honestly. So it's just a real disappointment.
Well, I've been enjoying this. Honestly, I think I've been enjoying this season. Well, probably not a little less than the first, but not to nearly the same extent. You have my, what confuses me is having Satella there and then Lee and then not being the next one. I'm just left wondering, well, then what was the point of that? What happened in that when by having her around? What did it accomplish? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's to set up stuff later. Maybe that could work. I saw someone make a speculation about this, and although they admittedly said they didn't think it made that much sense, but whatever. Because everyone else, like everything when it resets, is just the same as before, and it and you know, they might change based on Subaru's actions, but you know, everything is always the same at the start whenever he resets. You know what I mean? No, everyone else gets reset. Okay,
right.
So this indicates that that Zatella is presumably some kind of an exception to this. Well, I mean, obviously Echidna would also, but she kind of exists in this alternate world. So, which was an interesting thing. Because she looks so much like Emilia, the speculation I was seeing was, what if the first time Subaru met Emilia, it was actually Satella posing as her somehow?
That's an interesting...
Because, I saw that, but here's like the thing, because the first time Emilia tells her, oh, my name is Satella. But so that's why the next time he tries calling her out to her as Satella, which gets her really angry. So, but why would she even come up with a fake name to begin with? And if it was, why would she pick a name like that, which she resents so much?
Yeah.
Though that does kind of, although we also do meet Puck then, so that would make that not make as much sense. I suppose I'm just left wondering, because we never see Emilia in this when Satella's around, which does make me wonder if she got, or if Satella is actually possessing her, or is some sort of split personality, or what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
I do wonder though, when are we going to get back to the Royal Selection, or at least find out what the actual rules for it are? Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. I just feel like that was so much more interesting than this whole thing. And there was quite a few good characters. Of course, they ruined Crusade by, you know, eating up all her memories. So now she isn't even a character anymore. So Yeah, I just have not liked a single thing about this second season. It is just so confusing.
I'm just more I'm just disappointed that for they didn't because most of the episode titles are named after one of the chapters from the light novels. Now usually each episode I think gets maybe two chapters so you'll have one that covers two chapters, but it'll only have the name of one of those chapters. I'm so disappointed they didn't have what I mentioned before, the chapter had the chapter title of Love, 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 Love Me. This apparently took that, and then the second, so in Volume 12, the first two chapters are named, the first is, the one I said, and then the second is To Know Hell. So this one took the name of the second one. Well, actually, I think technically they translated it a little differently. They, I think Crunchyroll rendered it as I Know Hell, so... But either works as a translation of the Japanese because it did that one. But I was just disappointed because, like, oh, but that's such a crazy title. I needed to see it. Although it's weird that that's the case because it comes from the fact that Satella keeps, like, whispering, like, I love you, I love you to Subaru. But then why is the title Love, 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 Me? Instead of You. It was the previous one that was Love, 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 You.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't get the crazy title name, unfortunately. Oh, well.
Why Me Sad?
Yeah. Why me sad? Okay. So let's see, was there anything else I wanted to say about ReZero? That's the main stuff. I think, but yeah, I don't know. I have been still enjoying this season. I'm just a little annoyed by all of the apparent false starts where it's like, hey, we're going to have this. And, oh, no, wait, where this is actually going to be about this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like that bad Star Wars movie where every time you thought something was about to happen, then something different happened. So
the problem is what you just described could apply to several movies, or maybe that was a joke.
The Last Jedi, you know.
Oh, I thought you were gonna I thought the joke was that you could apply that to multiple Star Wars movies.
No, just the really bad one.
Okay. So, let's see. Was there anything Yeah, that was all of that for ReZero. Oh, yeah, Crunchyroll started, actually, they've been doing it for a few weeks now, but now they have been putting up a dub for the second season, which is kind of nice. Maybe I'll watch it sometime. Maybe I won't. We'll see. All right, so we got that. Then we're on to Tales of the Abyss, episodes 11 and 12, right. Okay, so our first episode is mostly about how, flashback stuff from Jade about how he was trying to make the Fomicry stuff, you know, where you duplicate things, and someone died, and he was like, I'm going to bring them back to life by doing that. Which, first of all, I don't think that brings them back to life. That just makes a copy of them.
Right.
Like, even if it was literally had all the memories and everything else, it's still a copy of them.
Yeah.
Unless, or maybe the like the way souls work in this is that if you make a duplicate body, then, well, then like someone who's dead, then their soul gets put into the new body, except no, that doesn't work here because we know that that wasn't the case when the actual duplicates were made. It was just a separate person, or maybe he thought that was how it was. I don't know. Maybe we were just supposed to think he was being a dumb kid, or however old he was when that happened. So yeah, that was basically the first episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the second episode then is that they get to the place they were going, and we get a bunch. Let's see, some bad guys show up and are able to temporarily brainwash Guy, and we find out that through flashbacks. Wow, I didn't realize it until I was just covering this, but really, the first episode was just Jay's flashback, and this one is Guy's flashback.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
About how he originally actually joined into that whole thing because he actually wanted to get revenge or something on Luke's father, or but then he was like, "Eh, whatever. Luke's okay." So he got past all of that, I guess. Now they're all going to go to a place to do to help people by doing a thing.
Yeah, that kind of sums up what's been going on lately. My biggest problem right now is the fact that we still haven't had like a proper introduction.
Just pretend that you were briefly speaking Spanish, because you sounded like you got it, except it would have been introducción. So just pretend you slightly mispronounced the Spanish.
Yeah. Anis or Anis or whatever they want to call her.
I think they call her Anisu.
Yeah. And in the English, they call her Anis, which doesn't make any sense. But she kind of joined the crew, but she never even had a moment where she said, "Oh, my name is Anis," or anything like that. It was just like she just showed up, and all of a sudden she's part of the crew, and she's been part of the crew, and she's been going along with them, and no one has ever asked her why, who are you and why are you hanging out with us? Like, no one has said anything. It's just been kind of like, oh, yeah, you're part of the group. And it was like, most of the time there's at least some sort of introduction. So you know who this person is. I just don't understand. Maybe they're saving it up for a big flashback later, which wouldn't be a surprise given the last two episodes, but I just puzzled by that.
Yeah, this anime needs some support conversations for her. I mean, like, from Fire Emblem. Although, I don't know about Tales of the Abyss. I know Tales of Symphonia had something kind of like that, where at random points you could just... you had the option of just pulling up this thing, it would just be some kind of brief and usually kind of humorous conversation between some of the characters. Like, I don't think it was like Fire Emblem where it had any gameplay effect, or maybe it did, I can't remember, it's been a while, but I just remember there's a few parts of that. I don't know if it was in Tales of the Abyss. But yeah, you're right, she did just kind of join up, and she's just there.
Yeah. That's the best way to describe it. She's just there.
Yeah. I made some notes, but unfortunately I did not write down which episodes these were in. But I needed to mention it. So at one point a character says, "Great power can sometimes bring great misery." And I was just like... So... Yeah. What actually come to and I was just thinking, was that just a coincidence or the obvious reference to the Spider-Man line?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I just remember there is this Weird Al song, a parody of Piano Man, and it basically was about the Spider-Man movie. I just like this part where he's just like saying, "With great power comes great responsibility." That's a catchphrase of old Uncle Ben. If you missed it, don't worry; they'll say the line again and again and again. One other thing was the part where I didn't write down. I only wrote down the line. I can't remember the context. I just know that a tear at some part point says to Luke, you know, "Anata Baka," you know, Asuka's famous line. Although they render this one as "How stupid are you?" Which carries about the same meaning as "What are you, stupid?"
Yep.
Okay. Right. So that was our Tales of the Abyss. Then we finally get the last two episodes of Excel World, episode 23 and 24. So they go up and they're fighting against Jerk Kid, whose name I still have not bothered to learn, but he's probably not going to be any. But, well, first is
Yomi.
Yomi. That's his name. Yomi. Anyway, so they're fighting against Jerk Kid. And things are not looking great, but then Kuroyuki Hime pops up because she actually traveled the whole accelerated world for 15 hours just to get there. I wonder how she spent the time. But anyway, so that's able to help turn the tide. So they fight a bunch. Oh, and it turns out Jerk Kid has the backstory of his older brother being super mean to him and forcing him to do stuff for that. So I guess he turned evil because he got so angry about all of that. But anyway, we get to, skipping over to the end. Chiyu hits both. Jerk Kid and Haru with the healing spell, which it turns out actually turns back time, so it makes it so Haru has the wings again and such. So this brings up, so does the game like have save states for them? Does it like keep backups? Because like I said, it turns back time is what it said. So if it will restore you to where you were before, does that mean that means the game has to be constantly remembering, like basically every moment, what your character's avatar state was, and there for it to be able to do that? Mm-hmm. Where is all this being stored?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
So anyway. So because of that, they're able to beat him, and he gets beaten. And it turns out that if you lose all your burst points, it actually erases your memories of the game. I'm not sure how that is supposed to work, because I would assume that there would be some kind of, like, if you can, this thing that everyone's using, if it's attached to you, if it can actually wipe out your memories, why would people be doing it if someone could just hack to do it? Or actually, maybe they said it was specifically because he had that implanted chip in his brain, and that was, and it was through that that it caused it, and it wouldn't affect other people. I'm not sure. I'm gonna hope that's the explanation, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. So they manage to beat him, and everything's great. And apparently he's no longer a jerk, because I guess memory loss / brainwashing makes everything better.
Yeah, and it completely cured his arrogant attitude and changed his character completely just because he got that chip.
So the gang's all together again. Oh, I skipped over it, but it did mention that Q explains that the whole reason she was actually working with the guy was because she was trying to get the, like, power boost in order to pull off that turn back time thing, and that she didn't tell them because she was worried about some sort of that it might be monitored somehow. We got that explained, I suppose. My question though is why he believed her. Because according to this, she just went up to him and goes, "Hey, I'd like to join you and get some power." He was like, "Okay, I trust you implicitly now." even though I was blackmailing you and I was working and you are friends with my enemies, I guess I'm just going to trust you on this.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I know she did help him out, but it surprised me that he wasn't still keeping more at arm's length. But yeah, so that's basically and that's basically the end of the season and the anime series outside of one movie that I think did continue things a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was the ending to it was satisfying yet not like outstanding. You know, it was like, okay, that's a good ending to the show, but it was like it isn't anything that blew me away. So yeah. That was it.
Oh, Crunchyroll does have the movie if you want to ever watch it sometime.
Yeah, we could do that sometime.
I assumed they didn't because I was looking at the Excel World page and wasn't listed there. But then I found out it's on its own separate page, Excel World Infinite Burst.
Mm.
Actually, it might not be that hard because at least so the movie is apparently something like it is something like, 82 minutes long, but the Wikipedia thing said that the first 40 minutes were a recap. So that might mean that we could actually skip through a lot of it.
Yeah, that would be difficult, though. Trying to figure out when to join in, you know.
Well, let's see. I think let me double check on that actually. While I looked that up, getting back to the point. Well, I mean, it suffers a problem that a lot of anime has when things are incomplete, which is incomplete adaptation because it's incomplete. And unlike other series, I don't think it's likely to get more because it's been so long since the last season. Like, this aired, what, in like 2016 or something? Oh, mm-hmm. 2012.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty long time for us to expect more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's... Why isn't my internet loading stuff right? Okay. But anyway, so, I mean, there's, like, all these unanswered questions and stuff. And that's, like, the thing... I mean, you can say the same thing for ReZero or Attack on Titan, but with those, it was not as obvious... they got more seasons. That's the thing. In fact, with Attack on Titan, you know the anime is... Especially at this point, you know the anime will complete. They're going to have the final season, and that will... cover the final portion of the manga, which is nearing its end.
Mm-hmm.
So someone can go to Attack on Titan knowing, yes, it will complete things. Now, I have no idea. Now, I'm Not sure how much I'd recommend it because the manga, the series, I feel turns into kind of nonsense after the third season. It's weird. They go from like the best part of the story to like, and then it just gets so weird and confusing.
Yeah, I'm pretty thirsty, so we need to wrap this up soon.
Okay. So that's Excel World. That's, I guess, the ending of that stuff. And, I keep repeating myself, I've noticed, especially in this episode. So I guess we can just give what we thought were the best ones of the week.
Yeah, my top one is actually going to be JoJo for this week. It is the best of the week. Second best, Excel World. And third best, you know, I wasn't big on Tales of the Abyss this week. But what was that other soap?
We had JoJo, Assassination Classroom, Black Clover, Fire, and Fire Force.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tales of the Abyss for number three after all. It was okay. So, yeah.
Okay. So I got, I will also put JoJo in first place. Then I think I will do Assassination Classroom. And then, it's a show that I keep looking at and seeing, wow, this has a lot of problems, but I still keep liking it. So, sorry, ReZero. It might have gotten first place if it had just had that title though of love, 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 love me. And I know I've been saying that a bunch, but I'm probably not going to get a chance after this episode, so I need to abuse it.
Okay,
well, I guess that's it for now. We'll see you next week with, because Excel World is over, we've got some new shows we'll be checking out. And you can find out what they are in our next episode. I'd say them, but there's a chance that maybe something will go horribly wrong, and we might not be able to do one of them. So you'll find out then. But you can find our past episodes at TsunamiTherapy.podbean.com. And I have nothing else to say, so see you next week.
Bye.